26. Yata pravritir bhutanam yena sarvam idam tatam svakarmanatam abhyarchcha siddhim vindati manavaham. Translation. By worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings and who is all-pervading, a man can attain perfection through performing his own work. Text 47. Shreyan svadharmo viguna paradharmat svanushtitat svabhavaniyatam karma kurvanapnoti kilbisham. Translation. It is better to engage in one's own occupation, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's occupation and perform it perfectly. Duties prescribed according to one's nature are never affected by sinful reactions. Text 48. Sahajam karma kaunteya sadosham apita sajet sarvarambha hidoshenam tumenagnir ivavritaha. Translation. Every endeavor is covered by some fault, just as fire is covered by smoke. Therefore, one should not give up the work born of his nature, O son of Kunti, even if such work is full of fault. Text 49. Asakta buddhi sarvatra jivatma vigata sprihaha naiskaramya siddhim paramam sanyasenadigachati. Translation. One who is self-controlled and unattached and who disregards all material enjoyments can obtain, by practice of renunciation, the highest perfect stage of freedom from reaction. Text 50. Siddhim prapto yata brahma tatapnoti nibodhame samasenaiva kaunteya nishta jnanasya yapara. Translation. O son of Kunti, learn from me how one who has achieved this perfection can attain to the supreme perfectional stage, Brahman, the stage of highest knowledge, by acting in the way I shall now summarize. And finally, texts 51 through 53. Buddhya vishuddhaya yukto drityatmana niyamyacha shabdadin vishayangs tyaktva raga dvesha vyadasyacha vivikta sevi lagashvarisi yatava kaya manasaha dhyana yoga paroniyam vairagyam samupashritaha ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodham parigraham vimucha nirmama shanto brahmabhuyaya kalpate. Translation. Being purified by his intelligence and controlling the mind with determination, giving up the objects of sense gratification, being freed from the attachment and anger, hatred, one who lives in a secluded place, who eats little, who controls his body, mind, and power of speech, who is always in trance, and who is detached, free from false ego, false strength, false pride, lust, anger, and acceptance of material things, free from false proprietorship and peaceful, such a person is certainly elevated to the position of self-realization. Going back to text 41. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras are distinguished by the qualities born of their own natures in accordance with the material modes, O chastiser of the enemy. So why is Krishna speaking about the material world? Why isn't he only speaking about the spiritual subject matters? The answer is that he is trying to bring the living entities living in the material world gradually to the platform. of spiritual consciousness. That's why he established the Varnashram system. Chatur Varnya Mayashrishtam Gunakarma Vibhagasaha Tasyakartaram Apimam Vidyakartaram Aveyam. For gradual development from the mode of ignorance to passion, from passion to goodness, and then from goodness to transcendence. It is not so easy for one to go directly from ignorance to transcendence. Generally, it is not possible. So, they are advised that don't try to jump immediately, but go gradually. For the common man, the Varnashram system is a very sensible and common sense arrangement for him to gradually progress by doing his duty. It may take some lifetimes. It's not expected that the ordinary person will achieve perfection in one lifetime. He may go from ignorance and then by cultivating the proper behavior of a Shudra, then in his next life he'll be able to become a Vaishya. And in the next life, then he'll be able to become Kshatriya. In this way, going up, then a Brahmana, and then to the higher planets. For example, it is said that one who perfectly performs his duties according to Varnashram is given the opportunity to take his birth on Brahmaloka. By strictly following all the principles of the Vedas, one is gradually elevated from different sections, different stratas, and then up to the higher demigods' planets. For example, there's Janaloka and Tapaloka. These are planets where tapasvis live, great sages, brahmacharis in the renounced order, especially Tapaloka and Brahmaloka. Then there are other planetary systems for those who want to enjoy the results of their pious activities. In other words, they're using up their pious credits, whereas others are creating more pious credits. And then there are those who are trying to renounce the material world. And they simply want to attain to the platform of Brahman. That is also good. They're trying to get free from entanglement. And there are processes for that. Generally, they practice the Jnana Yoga system, try to analyze neti-neti, what is matter, what is spirit, try to avoid getting entangled in material affairs. Going on to the next text. This text 42, this is the Brahmana's characteristics. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, religiousness, these are the natural qualities by which the Brahmanas work. So we can test ourselves. This is a self-test. We can see, how am I doing in peacefulness? Am I always peaceful? Or do I get upset? If I get upset, then I'm not a Brahman. I'm not cultivating the qualities of a Brahmana. Then, self-control. Do I control myself? Or do I end up doing things very impetuously? I do things, oh, why did I do that? Oh, why did I... So controlling the self. Then, austerity. Do I like austerity? Do you know what austerity means? Austerity, for the non-English mother tongue members of the audience, means the willingness to undergo some difficulty or even to accept some kind of a uncomfortable, painful even situation for some higher purpose. For example, getting up early in the morning. That's an austerity. It's painful. Everyone knows when we're sound asleep, enjoying the rasa of nidra, sleeping rasa. And then we think, now it's time to get up. It's very painful. This is an austerity. But one who's a brahmana, who's cultivating the principles of goodness, he likes austerity. It is, in fact, it's said that austerity is the wealth of the brahmanas. He doesn't have money, but he has austerity. He doesn't have money. Brahmanas, doesn't say here, wealth. Where does it, say here? In this, does anyone see in this verse where it says wealth? No. It doesn't say wealth, but it says tapa. Tapa means austerity. Then, next quality, shocham, cleanliness. How clean am I? If I like to clean, if I like to be clean, and if I am clean, then that means I'm cultivating the qualities of a brahmana. If I'm not clean, then I'm not cultivating the qualities of a brahmana. And if I don't like to clean, then I'm not cultivating the qualities of a brahmana. Then, kshantir. Kshanti means tolerance. How much tolerance do I have if people or things don't go the way I like? Prasadam wasn't cooked the way I wanted. He didn't. This person didn't show me enough respect, and my dhoti got borrowed by someone. So how much can I tolerate? Or I'm driving in the traffic, and someone cuts in front of me, can I tolerate it, or do I become very upset? So these are qualities of a brahmana. Brahmana is very tolerant. For example, there was one brahmana. This is a story that Srila Prabhupada told us. There was one brahmana, and he was living by the side of a lake, a river. And this brahmana had received a benediction that he would live a very long time. He would live until all the hairs on his body fell out. And he was a very hairy sage. And not only that, but one hair would fall out, what was it, every lifetime of Brahma, something like that. So it's an unimaginable length of lifetime, and he was living by the river, and some of his followers, they said, can we please make you a little hut so you'll be protected from the hot sun and from the rain? And he said, no, it's okay, I'm just here temporarily. I don't need. So he was tolerating the heat from the sun, it's very scorching hot, and the rain in the rainy season, because he thought, I'm just here temporarily. It's not very long. I have to tolerate this. So that's how a brahmana thinks. Whereas someone who's not a brahmana, he can't tolerate the discomforts very easily. Then, the next quality, honesty. Arjavam. How honest are we? Do we tell the truth? A Brahman is supposed to be so honest that if someone comes and asks him where he keeps his money, he's supposed to say, yes, it's right over there. I keep it in there. He's supposed to be so honest. He doesn't, for a Brahmana to tell something untrue is a very big contamination for a Brahmana. For others, it's not so contaminating. For example, for a Vaishya, you don't see the term honesty for Vaishyas. Do you? If you look in the qualities of a Vaishya, it doesn't say honesty. Because everyone knows Vaishyas can't be honest. If he's honest, he has to tell everyone, okay, I only paid this much for this item. I paid 30 cents. I'm charging you $15. And then everyone will say, why are you doing that? And then he'll lose all his business. So they come in and they say, how much does this cost you? He said, wow, it's very, very expensive. In fact, I'm taking a loss. I'm losing on this because I like you, because you're such a nice man. I'm taking a loss, but it's all right. Go ahead, take it. But don't tell anyone. So this is, everyone knows that if he's taking a loss, how does he remain in business? But we like to hear him say these untrue things. We like to hear him say that we really got the better of him today, that he really lost on this deal. So this is the Vaishyas. For a Vaishya, truthfulness is not that important. But for a Brahmana, it's very important. If a Brahmana doesn't tell the truth, then no one will have any confidence in him. After all, he's a teacher. He's a spiritual leader. He must be truthful so that people can have full faith in his words. Then, knowledge. How much knowledge do we have? And knowledge doesn't mean how many mandibles are on the tsetse fly or something like that. That's not knowledge. Knowledge means to know spirit and matter and the controller of both. That's knowledge. It means Vedic knowledge. Otherwise, it's simply some information which is always changing and is not very important. How many grains of sand are there at Redondo Beach? Does anyone know? Does it matter? No. It doesn't matter. So we're very busy learning all sorts of things, memorizing so many useless, what is it? Even Mick Jagger said, trying to tell me some useless information. So everyone's trying to teach me so many useless things. And what is the benefit? My life will be over very soon, and then what will I have? All this useless information in my head. Sometimes we even spend our time absorbing our consciousness in fiction. Can you imagine? Fiction means it's not even true. Somebody just concocted the whole story, and I spend my time hearing it. So, this is not very intelligent. This is not knowledge. We have a very short time. Our life is going away very fast. We have something to accomplish here, and we need the knowledge. What am I supposed to be doing? How do I get out of this place? How do I get out of this suffering condition? That's knowledge. Then wisdom. Wisdom is the step beyond knowledge. Knowledge is theoretical. But wisdom means he's, just like we know, the wise old man is one who, he doesn't just have book learning, but he knows how to apply it. He's realized the knowledge. So that is a higher stage. He puts it in practice also. It's not that someone says, you know, smoking is not good for you, and then he lights up a cigarette and smokes a cigarette. So what kind of knowledge is that? He said the correct thing, smoking's not good, but he hasn't realized it. If he had realized it, he would have stopped smoking. Then, religiousness. Religiousness means following the Vedas, following the Vedic principles. You can talk all you want, and you can speak all kinds of nice things, but if you don't follow the religious principles, then you're not a Brahmin. These are Brahminical qualities. Now, Brahmins naturally are inclined towards these things. So how can you artificially imitate a Brahmana? It doesn't work. If someone doesn't have Brahminical qualities and he wants to take the position of a teacher or guru or spiritual leader, it will be a farce. Because everyone will see, oh, he's not clean, he's not austere, he's not learned. He's not truthful. He's not self-controlled. He's not a Brahmana. He's just pretending. So, what does that say for our teachers today? Every teacher is supposed to be a Brahmana. Only Brahmanas are supposed to teach. So every teacher is supposed to have these qualities. And if they don't, then it means they're pretending to be Brahmanas, and it doesn't work. The students are not very enthusiastic about learning from them. Actually, they end up learning how to be a pretender and a false personality. That's what they really learn. They learn the qualities of the person. Therefore, the Brahmanas must have these good qualities because they're supposed to be teaching the students how to be good persons, how to imbibe these good qualities. Going on to text 43, let's see who's a Kshatriya. Okay, the first quality, heroism. So what does heroism mean? Bhakta Vaiko, what does heroism mean? Dhruva? Yes. Courageous. Courage in battle. Heroism. If there's something that needs to be done to save others, innocent persons, even if it's dangerous, he will do it. He will not shy away from a difficult task to protect others. To protect religious principles and dharma, and to protect people especially, he will risk his own life. That's heroism. And next one, power. He's strong. He's physically strong. Bala. It's not that he's a weakling. If something, there's some big task. It's like Bhima. Bhima's the archetype Kshatriya. Bhima was never afraid of anything or anyone. It didn't matter if it was a whole army attacking him. Say, okay, come on. Didn't matter. He wasn't afraid of an army. He wasn't afraid of demigods. He wasn't afraid of Bhrigupati. He wasn't afraid of anyone. That's a Kshatriya. And he was not afraid of any difficult task. And he was strong. He was as powerful as 10,000 elephants. So what is it a Kshatriya if he's so weak? I can't lift it. I can't. He's not a Kshatriya. Kshatriya means power. Then determination. He doesn't give up. It's said that the Kshatriya, he will, if he begins some task, he will not stop. For example, when the fight would go on between two Kshatriyas, well, basically it was understood that there will be, one of them will die. Because they don't, it's not like, okay, that's it, I've had enough. All right, let's stop now. No, that's not a Kshatriya. He's determined to go to the end. And the example, therefore, Kshatriyas are often called Singh. Singh in Sanskrit means lion. Because a lion, when he goes after someone, some creature, is very determined to be successful. Then, resourcefulness. Whatever needs to be done, he'll figure out the way to do it. That is a Kshatriya. It's not that if someone doesn't tell him what to do, then he's, you know, lost. Or if there's something lacking. No, he can always figure out resourcefulness. Then, courage in battle. We discussed generosity. The example of generosity amongst the Kshatriyas is Karna. Another name, Dattakarma. He's very charitable. Or Danavir is another name for Karna. Means he's so charitable, a Kshatriya will give away anything. He'll give away everything he possesses under the proper circumstances. And there are many examples of this. For example, a Kshatriya, he would win the whole kingdom, and then some Brahmana would come, or some sage, and he'd say, "My dear sage, kindly take my kingdom." He'd give the whole kingdom away. That's generosity. Then, so, are you generous? If you don't like to give things away, then you're not a Kshatriya. Give things away to especially to Brahmanas. The Kshatriyas are especially inclined to give charity to the Brahmanas. Just like even Jarasandha. Jarasandha was a Kshatriya. He was not a devotee of Krishna, but he was a Kshatriya. So he had these qualities. He was never afraid in battle. He was resourceful. He had determination. He was powerful. He had all these qualities. He was courageous. And once, because they knew Krishna, Uddhava, they knew that Jarasandha was a Kshatriya who was very generous. So they went there dressed as Brahmanas. They dressed themselves up like Brahmanas. And so he had a policy that every day at a certain time, every Brahmana could come and he would give charity, whatever they asked for. He was a king. Whatever they'd ask, he'd give. Because he knew that a real Brahmana won't ask for more than he needs. He's not going to cheat me. He's only, just like Bali Maharaj, or excuse me, what was his name? Urukruma? Vamanadeva, Urukruma, yes. He only asked for 3 steps of land. He didn't want to take more than he needed. That's a Brahmana. So Kshatriyas, like Bali Maharaj, he gave. And Jarasandha also, he said, so these 3 Brahmanas, so-called Brahmanas, Krishna, Arjuna, and Bhima, and they tried to dress themselves like Brahmanas. It was a little difficult, though, because, you know, Bhima's shoulders were, you know, gigantic, and they were huge, powerful Kshatriyas, and Jarasandha was saying, "I think I've seen them before also." Because he fought with Krishna 17 times. But they were very good in disguise. But still he thought, they look familiar. And I don't think they're Brahmanas. I think they're Kshatriyas. Because they had marks on their shoulders where they're carrying the bows also. Because the Kshatriya, he carries his bow and he gets a mark. So they said, "Look at the size." And they had commanding voices. They didn't speak like soft Brahmanas. They had these big, deep, commanding voices and powerful body. He said, "I think they're Kshatriyas. But anyway, they're dressed like Brahmanas, so I'll give them whatever they want." And he said, "Whatever you like, you ask for me. Even if you want my head in charity, I'll give it to you." So this is, and they said, "Yes, we appreciate your charity, your generosity, but we want to fight with you." That's the charity they wanted. And then, leadership. Do you like to take charge? Do you like to be in charge? If you like to be in charge, then these are the qualities of a Kshatriya. If you don't like to be in charge, then you're not in charge. If you like to organize things, okay, let's go. Let's do this. You do this. You do this. You do this. All right, let's do this. These are the qualities of a Kshatriya. Then, the qualities of the Vaishya. Farming. Do you like to farm? Do you like to farm, anyone? Do you like to go out and work the field every day? Not just, you know, a few nice days in the springtime. But every day, you like to be out there on the farm, working in the land with the oxen. plowing the field. Okay, that's that. If you do, that means you have the qualities of a Vaishya. And cow protection. Do you like to protect the cows? All during the year. Cow needs protection every day. Cow doesn't just take protection, you know, once or twice a year. Cow protection means every day. Do you like that? Do you want to milk the cow? Do you want to make sure the cow is fenced in and take the cows out for pasturing? Protect the cows against any predators or things like that? If you do, if you like taking care of cows, then that means you have the qualities of a Vaishya. And business, trade, vanijam. Vanijam means mercantilism or business. Do you like business? Do you like making money? Because a Brahmana, he doesn't like making money. If you ask a Brahmana, would you like to make some money today? He says, I'd rather study the scriptures. I'd rather discuss philosophy. Isn't it? That's what a Brahmana will say. But if you say to a Vaishya, what would you like to do today? Well, there's no question. Make money. That's what he's thinking about. So if you have these qualities, these are the qualities of a Vaishya. Then let's hear the qualities of a Shudra. Labor. Do you like to work? Do you like to be given some work to do? Because a Shudra, he's doing some labor. He likes working hard. It's like, for example, a horse. You've all seen horses, or an oxen. They like to work hard. They're good Shudras. They are also in the category of Shudra. Because they work hard. They like to work. They like to do labor. They're very happy doing it. It's not that a horse is... You have to say, all right, so today we're going to go riding. And he says, oh no, not riding again today. You're going to be on my back? Oh no. No, he enjoys. He's very happy doing this service. So a Shudra, whatever his labor may be, he likes to carry out orders. He likes to be given some work to do. And he's happy doing that. Just like they say, well, you can tell who the Shudras are. When you're chanting on the street and someone comes by and says, get a job, then you know he's a Shudra. He's thinking that you're supposed to be, you know, doing some... He can't imagine that chanting might be, you know, a way of life. He's thinking, you know, I have to work, go to a factory. And service to others. Just like maids or... you know, things like that. He's assisting others. So this is Shudra work. And we see many people are Shudras. Look at the work they do. All the office people, most of the office people are in the category of Shudras. They say, okay, do this, put this computer program. That's Shudra work. Because the other three, the Vaishya and the Kshatriya and the Brahmana, they don't work for anyone. They're self-employed. Only the Shudras are employed. So why is Krishna telling us all this? Because we need to understand what type of body we have and how to utilize the body, how to live in this life so that we can make spiritual progress and take care of our material necessities as well and be happy. A Kshatriya won't be happy doing the work of a Shudra, and a Shudra won't be happy trying to do the work of a Kshatriya. They've tried that. When they draft people into the Vietnam War, they found so many, they weren't happy to go and fight because they weren't Kshatriyas. So many of them, they left the country and joined the Hare Krishna movement and different things because they weren't Kshatriyas. So are there any questions about... Yes, Bhakti Vaikal. You mean to be a Kshatriya, you should have all the qualities. Or be a Brahmana, yes, you should have all of them. A good Brahmana will have all of them. A good Kshatriya will have all of them. A good Vaishya, he may not do necessarily all of them, but any of those three And a Shudra, he, as long as he does either labor or service to others, then he's a good Shudra. Yes, a Vaishnava, a devotee of Krishna, he can act in any capacity because his meditation and his goal is to serve Krishna. Therefore, there's no restrictions for him, a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava, sometimes you see, he acts like a Kshatriya and he manages. And sometimes he acts like a Brahmana, sometimes he acts like a Shudra. He carries out orders. Yeah, that's a good point. If the society was functioning according to Varnashram principles, then you could say that the Vaishnavas, they would, well, not necessarily, because then you'll find Vaishnavas in all different capacities. You'll find Kshatriyas are Vaishnavas. The kings will be Vaishnavas. And the Shudras will be Vaishnavas. Then become a Vaishnava. Actually, we're not supposed to be striving to be one of these. This is what our bodies are already programmed for. It's not like we have to strive for it. It's the body's already programmed. It's like when you get a Mercedes-Benz automobile. Well, it's meant for driving. It's not meant for going in the sea. If you take the nice car in the sea, you'll ruin it. And you can't fly in it. It's meant for driving. So this body is meant for a particular functions. But, as Krishna says, let's go on here. Sve Sve Karmani, let's look at that verse. That's text. Where is it? Sve Sve Karmani Birata. 45. By following the qualities of work, every man can become perfect. Now please hear from me how this can be done. Then he says, by worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings, and who is all-pervading, a man can attain perfection through performing his own work. So that's the culmination of work. You have your nature, perform that work for pleasing Krishna. And whatever that work may be, the natural tendency, you'll be able to do it for Krishna's pleasure. For example, let's say you like to take care of cows. So protect cows. Don't send cows to the slaughterhouse. If you send cows to the slaughterhouse, you're doing just the opposite thing. You're doing the thing that will displease God the most. So how will you make any progress? But if you protect the cows, then Krishna will be very pleased with you. Or if you're a Shudra and you assist others, and you, at the same time, you're always thinking of Krishna and thinking how to please the Lord, then that will be pleasing to Krishna. Yes, Lord Chaitanya said that it will be difficult to reestablish Varnashram. Therefore, he emphasized for the people in general, Harayarnama, Harayarnama, Harayarnama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva 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 gatiranyata. He quoted this verse from the Brihadaranyaka Purana, which says that in the age of Kali, the only means for self-realization is to chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names. There's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way. That means not by trying to be a Brahmana, not by trying to be a Vaishya or a Shudra or... Yes, Dharmahina. Without Dharma, Pashubir Samanam is equal to the animals. Without Dharma. And without being at least to the platform of Shudra, where's the Dharma? That means he's a Chandala or Panchama. Panch means fifth class. The four classes are there, but if he's Panchama, he's outside. Or Chandala, dog eater, Panchama, Yavana. So they're very sinful, low class. And he's not acting as a human. He's not making progress. In other words, he's going down. Shudras at least are going up. See, that's the nice thing. If one is in the Varnashram system, he gets taken, he's carried upwards. And if he's outside the Varnashram system, then he's carried downwards. Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki jai.